This morning, our sermon series that we are beginning is entitled Real Talk. And as been mentioned a few times yesterday, Pastor Jim Palmer, who is our network assistant superintendent, lost his life in a car accident. And I can be honest with you, yesterday morning, I was here, I was practicing, I always run through my sermon, and I had a pretty good plan on what I was going to do, jump into real talk, jump into a conversation about addiction, alcohol, maybe food, things that help us get through life. And yesterday afternoon, this news came in, and I just felt that what I had was not sufficient. And especially in this beginning part, I believe that there's people in this room that are grieving. I believe there's people all over Ohio. If you do not understand the Assemblies of God structure, there's 284 churches in Ohio, over 850 right in there, pastors that are a part of the Assemblies of God churches. We are one of those. We are very, very active in the Assemblies of God. Pastor Dave is our executive presbyter, who's over a quarter of the churches in Ohio. I'm the presbyter of our area here, the Greater Columbus West Side. We are a part of this together, and Pastor Jim was a major man in what happened here in Ohio. And so this morning, I want to start off this talk of real talk with praying for Pastor Jim's family, for Renee, for the kids, grandkids, as well as 800 ministers, missionaries that are literally all over the world, as he was our missions director. He challenged couple or individual after individual to experience the call of God and then encouraged them and made it possible, helped them raise funds to be sent all over the world. His eternal impact to the kingdom, I can't even imagine. Dad, it's going to be fun someday getting to heaven and just getting to see the impact that this man had on so many people in our world. So I want to pray for his family, pray for Ohio. But this morning, I also want to pray for Pastor John, who is our network superintendent. Pastor John and Jim, they have worked together hand in hand. I use the term that he was his right-hand man, but I feel almost like that's not enough. It's more like he was his right leg, like he was part of what Pastor John stood by and with. And this morning, I just want us to take a couple of minutes and to pray for these three things, for his family and friends, for the Ohio ministers, for Pastor John, to give him wisdom. In fact, they have a meeting today to talk about what to do, how to move forward, what this looks like. But the last area of this is I want us to pray in our own lives, in our own families, for people that if it was our family member, if it was someone we know that yesterday we got that news, that we can't celebrate that Pastor Jim's in heaven. Pastor Jim's not sad today. He is partying in heaven. We can be sad. We're going to grieve. But would you this morning pray for someone that if it was the news about them, we would not have that assurance. We would not know that they're in heaven. Because that is what we are here for on a Sunday morning. A Real Talk sermon series, that's where it starts and ends, is that we need to get more people into heaven. We need to talk about Jesus more. And that is what Jim Palmer did. This morning, I wore my ode to Pastor Jim, which is my closest I have to a sweater vest. It's a vest, at least. He always, it seemed like, had a sweater vest over a dress shirt. Like, that was his thing. And I'm wearing my AG gear this morning because Pastor Jim was the most AG guy. And why was he the most AG guy? Because the AG sends more missionaries around the world. It fit with his heart. All the gospel, Assemblies of God, I like all the gospel. That's why he was an AG man. And this morning as we pray, and we pray for his family, pray for our friends, pray for Pastor John, for all of the people around the world that this impacts, would you also, just for yourself, would you cry out to God this morning? I want to be somebody, it doesn't have to be AG, we're AG, that's great, but we're all the gospel all the time. And let us wake up with Jesus. Let us have our last breath with Jesus. Let us have every moment with Jesus. So if you would you just stand all over this room? Would you turn this into a prayer time here for a couple of minutes? If you need to move or you need to kneel at your seat, whatever it might be this morning, would you? Also in the room today, Ashley Higgins has been his personal secretary. I'm sure she could use just a boost. You could be praying for her this morning. But would you just lift your voice to God this morning? Thank him. But let's pray for Pastor Jim's family, for the pastors of Ohio. Would you pray for Pastor John and Wisdom, for the leadership team? And would you pray for loved ones in your family? So, Lord, this morning we come before you. We lift our voice to you. And, Lord, we first say thank you, God. Thank you for a man that gave his life, Lord, every moment of it. Lord, every moment that I've been alive, I've been able to look at him and see a man that was following you after your heart. Lord, and that to the last moment of his life, and Lord, we thank you that we can be secure and knowing that he is with you, he's within heaven, or he's in heaven and he's celebrating. But Lord, we pray for those that are left behind. We pray for his family, God. We pray right now that you would be their peace and comfort, especially in this moment of tragedy, Lord, that they would see and feel their good God. Lord, the greatest God, the only God that's real. Lord, you, Jesus. Lord, would you let them experience you? Lord, I pray for that extended family, friends, the pastors of Ohio, missionaries that he personally has poured into. Lord, the 284 churches that he's been a part in some way in every single one of those churches, God. We ask you this morning to be there for those people, to lift up their hands, God, to give them support and help and strength, God, even as services are happening all over Ohio. Lord, would you this morning touch Pastor John, especially, Lord, give him wisdom, Lord, what to do, how to move forward, Lord, personally, as one of his best friends, God. Lord, as a network, Lord, to see Ohio One for Jesus. Lord, would you give wisdom to our leadership, God, in what to do in this moment? Lord, would you give him your strength? Would you lift up his arms, God? Would you be his peace? Lord Jesus, and Lord, we turn to our own family, our own friends, those around us. Lord, I pray that every name that is represented by a face and an individual today, that they do not know you, they're not walking with you. Lord, we pray and we believe for salvation to come to the lost, salvation to come to those that we know are family members that are not serving you. God, we ask that you would come and you would move and you would let your glory fall. Lord, that one more person would come to know you. That one more person would come to know you. And Lord, as we think of a Real Talk sermon series, Lord, let our lives be real. Lord, let it be service to you. Let it be worship to you in a way that our world sees and knows you and comes into relationship with you, God. Lord, we ask you for testimonies, Lord, of what you're doing in one more, upon one more, upon one more, coming into relationship with you today. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, for how you move, how you show yourself. Lord, for Ashley and Pastor Dave and Pastor Dennis and those that have been a part of his church, Lord, we pray for a special comfort in this room. Lord, all over this state, God, we thank you for how awesome you are, even in hard moments, and maybe especially in hard moments, God. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for praying, for worshiping, and going after the things of Jesus this morning. Yesterday morning, I was standing right here. Every week, at least once, I preach my sermon to myself. Because I don't know if you know this, but sometimes when you hear yourself say something, you say, that's really good. Or has anybody ever said something and then you say, that was not quite as good as I wanted it to be? If you're sitting next to a spouse or you've ever had a friend or you've ever, so all of us, if you've had any relationship of any sort, you've had a moment when you said something and then maybe you knew right away or maybe it took a little bit of conviction and you realized not so good. And yesterday morning, I have had this Real Talk sermon series, and especially today focusing on alcohol and addiction. And I had this awesome plan. I felt really good about it. I came and I actually preached it here, like I said, to an empty audience, besides a few people that came in during it. And that was probably awkward for them, but that's okay. And I kind of felt good. And then as the day went on, and then as this news came down, I felt worse and worse. It was a nice, tidy message. I thought it could have been encouraging on alcohol and how we really need to be careful. And this morning, you're going to have to bear with me. And some of you might not like the next 30 minutes. And if so, it'll be done in about 32 minutes. So you'll be able to get out of here. But I believe that God just put a conviction in my spirit that I'm just going to give you my heart. It's called Real Talk, and that's what you're going to get this morning, is Real Talk. When it comes to alcohol, addiction, some of those things. Later on in the service, we're going to talk about food, and we're going to talk about some different elements that, not sinful, but what do we use? How do we use the things of our life? But when we think of alcohol specifically, I think of Pastor Jim, who he had to have been a part of so many situations with pastors that they morally fell, that they didn't cross the finish line like they would have wanted to. And it was amazing to me as I was growing up as a small child in a presbyter's home. Dad would bring home, not details, but he would bring home just enough that the truth got through of how often men and women would fall morally and how often it may have been a sexual thing or a computer thing or pornography thing, but how often alcohol would surface in the conversation. Now, as an Assemblies of God pastor, we sign a form every single year that says we will abstain from drinking alcohol. The Assemblies of God, we encourage, I would say strongly encourage, abstinence from alcohol. We just don't see the benefit of it. Now, there's grace everywhere, but over and over and over, from a kid up until recently, good pastor friends of my parents and then of mine, that their life changed completely because alcohol was introduced. And it wasn't a big deal for many for a long time. It was just something they did, a glass of wine or a glass of whatever it was, until something happened and there was a change, and one glass or one moment turned into many, that turned into addiction, that turned into them losing everything that they really cared about. And as I've been thinking and just mulling this over and thinking about how God would want me to speak about this topic, I believe that He's made it clear, at least in my life, in a commitment for many years, that I would never, ever, ever, ever touch alcohol. In fact, when I was a little kid, I committed that to myself before I think my parents even talked to me about alcohol, because they didn't need to talk to me about alcohol. I committed, I will never drink one sip. I don't care what it is. I will never smoke a cigarette or chew or do any of that stuff that some friends did. I committed to myself, because I never, ever have heard one single person that lost their marriage who said, if only I had one more drink, I think we could have made it. Not one time when there was a DUI was one more drink the answer that it wouldn't have happened. Not one time have I ever heard anybody ever say, well, because of alcohol, my life was better. And I've definitely never heard anybody's spouse say that about their spouse who drank, whether it was just a little bit or a lot, that self-medicated, that did whatever the words that could be used. And when I think about it and I pray about it, this is by far a conviction of mine that is very strong. You can know, because otherwise I would not stand here and speak it. When I was a kid, when I would go to work, I worked for Coons Contracting. I think I see Tony back there. And there were days, I don't know that he knew this, but almost every day that a person or two would try to get me to chew or smoke, almost every single day. And they would get frustrated because every single day I'm like, no thanks, you guys are nuts. You guys are crazy. It became an everyday thing. And there was never like a, that really sounds good. Because a conviction in my spirit, it wasn't doing anything good for them at the time. So I was not even going to entertain that thought. In fact, when you think of alcohol in our world today, or you think of addiction, in 2017, there were 77,000 people who died of drug overdose. 77,000. 44,000, almost 45,000 were of the opioid variety. But alcohol caused way more deaths, as over 88,000 deaths were attributed to alcohol. And in our day, in Ohio, for Ohio for Jesus, what we pray for, we pray against opioids, we pray against drug use. Some of you and your families have had children or spouses or friends that their lives have been ruined, that they've spent years upon years recovering and overcoming those addictions. And it's a daily battle. But more people die every year from alcohol. 88,000 people. In large part, I believe that the reason that this is because alcohol is not something that is seen as bad. You turn on the TV. In fact, if you're here tonight for the Super Bowl or you're at your home, most likely, I think I can guarantee it, you're going to see a whole lot of alcohol commercials. And all of them are going to make it look fun and good. It's going to help your life. It's going to make you better. It's going to make you feel better. It's going to help you in relationships, whatever. All the things that are going to be said or shown on a screen tonight. Social drinking is now the norm. In fact, within the church, there's more and more conversation in the United States of America. There's more and more churches that just accept that as the norm. But when I look and use my own eyes, I see that we are in an epidemic, an alcohol epidemic that is sweeping our nation, that is tearing apart so many families. Just among women and minorities, the alcohol-related death rate for women has increased 85% from 2007 to 2017. I don't know if this starts with a glass of wine a day, but that's way beyond when we get to this moment. Now today, you might be here and you might be saying, in the Bible, Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. I'm not going to have you raise your hand if you were thinking that in this moment. But that's the first thing when I thought of this. That comes up is, what about Jesus? Throughout the Bible, there was alcohol. Throughout the Bible, there was wine. Throughout the Bible, there was fermented drink, I think would be a better term that we would be able to use consistently through the Bible. The other thing that is very clear throughout the Bible is that over and over and over, the Bible says, do not get drunk with wine, for it is dissipation. Over and over again, you see the pattern that when people let alcohol in their life, that it causes problems, it causes pain, it causes death, it causes suffering. Over and over, we see stories like the prodigal son who goes and then gets basically into a place where they're wasted, where they waste their life because it becomes a control in their life. Over and over, we see that drunkenness is called a deed of the flesh. It's an addiction. It's something that binds us, and not just an addiction, but it's called being enslaved to sin. Those that allow alcohol to change and transform their life. And Paul, we see that he talks about walking wisely in this evil day. He is surely making the point that it is foolish to cope with this evil day by turning to alcohol. People that I talk to, that I know, that their routine is to go home after work, and before they can handle dealing with their children or their spouse, is to get some alcohol to take the edge off. There's nowhere in the Bible that would speak of such a thing as the right way to deal with life. Jesus is the only one that can bring truth and joy and peace to our life. We cannot find it in any other substance, in any food item, in anything that happens on social media. There's nowhere else that we can find peace and hope and rest than in Jesus, in our Savior's arms. All throughout Psalms, the New Testament, John, 1 Peter, talks about turning to God, that He is our living God. He is our peace. He is in time of trouble. He is all we need. And this morning when I talk to a room of grown-ups, I think I'm going to kind of talk to a group of grown-ups just like I have talked to many of these students over here, some of our young adults. And I'm going to encourage you that think about the why of what you do. Why, if you partake in alcohol, why is that necessary? Why does that have to happen? And in fact, I'm just going to be real. I encourage you, even if in yourself you say, I have freedom, I can do this, I encourage you to look to the brother or the sister to your left and to your right, to a young adult that might be sitting over here, or to students that are sitting right up here, that they are forming in themselves what they're going to do. In fact, when I was a youth pastor, I knew there were kids that were waiting for the legal age because they wanted to go drink. They wanted to just experience that. And I encourage Radiant Life Church and young people, if you look right here, I encourage every single one of you to take a stand on a whole lot of things in your life. And alcohol, that might be a great place to start. Cigarettes, anything that is addictive, that's controlling, I encourage you to say no. Just decide in your heart, I will not do it. Just like I would encourage you to decide in your heart to keep pure, to stay pure for a future spouse. Whether you're young or whether you're old in this room, it doesn't matter. I encourage you as your pastor, I believe as a friend. Why? Why do we need alcohol? Something that 88,000 people on average die every year from. This morning, I can't be any more real than that. This morning, I can't be any more real than to say, I'm not overly interested in arguing the good, the bad from the Bible, because I've been in good conversations. There's really good things. But the good is always, I'm free, I'm allowed, I'm able. The good is never, it helps my life or it helps someone around me. The good is never for my world or for the kingdom of God. The good is always what I want to do and what I think. And I encourage you, I would beg you, Radiant Life Church, not to hear me and either get mad or be like, woo, either way, but to go and to talk to God, talk to Jesus. Not only in this topic, but any topic. Why do I do what I do? Why do I partake in what I partake in? Why do I eat what I eat? Why do I look at what I look at or the movies that I watch? Maybe even why do I have the friends that I have? Why am I dating the person I'm dating? Maybe why do I act or behave the way I do with a spouse or someone that's close with me? If we are real, those are the questions we need to be asking and align our heart and our soul with the things of God. Because He wants the best things from us. The last thing before I jump into the Word this morning and make a hard turn here. The thought of I have the Christian liberty, or when I have to use that word, I have the liberty, I've got the freedom. In my own life, I've decided if that's what I need to say or do, I better pray really, really, really hard why I need to even bring that up. Why is it? And I would encourage you today, if you're on the side, and this could even be a little bit offensive to you, I pray that you hear my heart. I love each and every one of you. I love our students, I love our kids, and I love you. And I want us to be the most healthy group of people that the world has. The church should be that. And I personally believe that alcohol does not make us more healthy. It doesn't help us do better. But it opens the door for sin to become prevalent in our life. It opens the door for hurt and for abuse. It opens the door. And I never want to be a part of that. And I can tell you what, after just this 10, 15 minutes here, I feel a whole lot better than I did yesterday afternoon, what I was planning to do yesterday. Because I believe God is speaking to some folks here and challenging some folks. And some of you that you are struggling with alcohol addiction or addiction of some sort, I would encourage you, would you come talk to myself, to Pastor Dave? Would you come talk to one of us? Would you let us help you? Because you are not alone. You are not the only one that's struggling in whatever area it might be today. Maybe pornography, maybe addiction, drugs, alcohol, anything you want to get rid of in your life. We don't have a quick fix, but we want to walk with you. We want to help you. We want to set you up with some people that can be with you, guide you, and help you. If you would you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1? The next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a real talk. We just had a fun conversation. I hope that's what you thought, a fun conversation. A few of you did. The others nervously laughed. I appreciate that as well. But we're going to be looking at a few things. And this morning, we're going to be talking about what am I declaring. Next week, my wife and I, we're going to be bringing a word about love and relationships. And within that, the broader community. How we love one another as a community. In 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at our gender identity, our identity crisis in America, LGBTQ, all of those things. How does that relate to the church. What's that mean? How do we deal with and how do we walk in a way that Jesus would have us walk with all people that walk on the face of the earth? We're going to talk about politics a little bit, not who to vote for, but talk about the outrage culture. How can we healthily walk and serve and pray for and lift up our political leaders? But today, start with what am I declaring? Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and following has some amazing scripture. We're going to work through different portions of this over the next several weeks. And today we're just going to walk through kind of verse by verse and see what this would say and what this would open up in our life. Before we do, I just want to pray over this time. Lord, we are so thankful that you move. And Lord, we're thankful. I'm thankful for freedom. Lord, you let us walk in you. We no longer have to bring bulls and goats and sacrifice them. But Lord, we get to walk in you in worship, in prayer, in our offerings, and how we follow your word. We get to come before you. And Lord, I pray that every word that is spoken this morning that has and that's going to be would be honoring you. And I pray that each of us would commit ourselves once again to the things of you above anything else, above anything we want or we desire, or even we've been taught in the past. Lord, would we honor you and we honor your word today. We thank you and we praise you. Romans 16, or 1, 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And I look at Paul in this moment. I look at what he says and how he just goes right at it. He's in a place in Rome where the culture and society, I think you could say, would be like America, but on serious steroids. The sin was rampant. It was public. It was open. From top-level leadership all the way down, there was sin that was not hidden. It was not tried to be suppressed, but it was out in public for all to see. And Paul stands up with boldness and says and writes, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel." And why? Because it is the power of God. It is the power of God. And when I begin to look at and think about real talk, there's no way that we can have real talk in the United States of America, in our society, in our culture, unless we believe that the word of God is the power of God, unless we believe that the word of God is all that we need, unless we are not ashamed and just like Paul can speak that truth with 100% conviction. The next few weeks, this morning, we're going to talk about topics the Bible brings up that in our culture and in our society, the world would rather us not bring up, in all honesty. But we're going to talk about what the word would say, because I am not ashamed. I believe we are not ashamed, just like Paul, of the gospel. For it is the power of God, and it's the power of God for salvation. It's not just powerful, but the power of God for your and my salvation. The power of God to walk in him and to move in him and to walk in what he has for me and for you. It is the power of God. Morris says, "The gospel is certainly news, but it is more than information. It has an inherent power. The gospel is not advice to people suggesting that they lift themselves. It is power. It lifts them up." Paul does not say that the gospel brings power, but that it is power, and God's power at that. And when we get the word of God and we put it in us and we commit to live by it no matter what it says, no matter what happens, no matter what the world would say, no matter what our friends would say, and sometimes not even what we think. When we live by what the word of God speaks, there's a power for salvation for everyone that believes. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. The power of God for salvation. And I love that when it says this, it does not say that man becomes righteous. It doesn't say that we get some righteous person's righteousness. It doesn't say that we just are really good, but it says the righteousness of God. We get to walk in the power of God, the righteousness of God, that when God looks at us, he looks and he sees someone that had never sinned. He never sees the sin anymore because it's his righteousness, and we get to walk in him. The power of God removes everything we've ever done, everything that we've ever thought, everything that does not go with him. The righteousness of God, the power of God, the gospel makes new and makes whole in us, which means there's not one person in this room who can say, I'm too far gone, or I'm too stuck in my ways, or this is just who I am, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation. It's God's righteousness that we get to walk in. And he sees pure, spotless lamb. He sees a child, and he loves you, and he cares for you, and he has the best things for you. There's a declaration of salvation here in verse 16 and 17 that is as exciting as it could possibly be. In fact, we could stop right now, and this would be an awesome place to stop, except the next part declares something else, and I don't like it. And it's a warning, and we must push on, because in verse 18, there's a declaration of wrath. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their own unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Because God has shown it to them for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And for the sake of time this morning, that last sentence boils it all down. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. There is no excuse. The Bible says for any person, because the general revelation of God, the heavens declare his glory, in fact, in Psalms 19, verse 1. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. The general revelation, the invisible attributes are spoken to all creation. But for us, who we go beyond just the general revelation, we have his love letter, his story, his words to us. There is no excuse to not walk in him. There is no excuse to claim to be wise, but to walk as foolish people. There's a declaration of wrath for those that have turned their back on the things of God. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. And the question that I have, when I think about boiling it down, is am I in every area and every part of my life, have I turned my life over to say, Lord, I don't want there to be any declaration of wrath in anything that I do, in any part of who I am, even if I abstain from something that I have freedom to do? Is it the most beneficial thing for me? Is it the most beneficial thing for my wife? Is it the most beneficial thing for my children, for the people that see me, the people around me? Because I will gladly exchange the things that I want or I need or that I want to have for the things of God. And I believe that what can be known about God, it says God has shown it to them. I believe that we can know, we can ask him, we can beg him, Lord, show me your ways. And as we line up with the truth of the word, the principles of the word, we can know that we are where we should be. We can know that that declaration of wrath is not for me. It's not for you. It's not for his church. When we line up with the word of God, but it's not that difficult to start saying, I like most of it, but there's a little bit of the word that I don't like very much. There's a little bit of it that I don't want to follow. There's a little bit of it because of a relationship or because of a feeling I have or because my parents or because of even what somebody did that was horrible to me at some point in my life that makes me reject a part. But the Bible says that it has been made known and there's no excuse. And today, the power of the gospel, the power of God, he wants to come and touch and guide and direct each and every one of us. And where we've allowed foolish thoughts or foolish ways or foolish opportunity into our life, it's time. It's time to ask him for forgiveness. It's time to ask him, Lord, take that from me. I don't want any foolish way near me. I'm not going to claim to be wise. I'm going to claim to be biblical. I'm going to claim and get in the word of God and let that be the wisdom that I need. Because in verse 23, it goes on and there's a declaration of image. It says, in exchange, the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man. And birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. When I read this, and as I've been just meditating on this and letting this just roll in my spirit, could there be anything else worse than verse 24, that God gave them up, that God lets us do whatever we want to do, if that's our heart, that God says, fine. We've got a world of people that right now, the wrath of God is him letting them do what they want. And sometimes in our own life, the wrath of God is him not just saying, you can't do that. It's him not, I guess the wrath of God is giving us free will in certain areas of our life where we decide, I'm going to live how I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. And the wrath of God is when he finally says, okay. When I think of a Real Talk sermon series, I didn't know this is exactly where we're going to go. But I believe there's no place to start besides right here. And asking the Lord, will you speak? Will you move? Will you show me your way? If the band would come back up here. As we close this morning, I pray that things in your life that maybe you are struggling with, maybe it has to do with alcohol. Maybe this morning, I brought up one of my favorite gifts that I've ever received. I don't know if you can see this, but this says Dr. Pepper, and this is a can, except it's made out of glass. Like a little fun thing. Someone gave me this. And if you don't know me, I love Dr. Pepper. I love Dr. Pepper. In fact, if I was allowed to, I would only drink Dr. Pepper and I would forget water. Like, I don't like water. I love sugar, I suppose. I suppose I love caffeine. Like, we can just follow the trail. And you know, over the last couple of years, I have realized something in my life. If I drink 4 to 6 cans of Dr. Pepper a day, I enjoy it. But you know what else I have realized? If I drink 4 to 6 cans of Dr. Pepper, I no longer sleep real well. My stomach starts to pop out a little more than I prefer. I lose energy after getting a little first, of course, but then I lose energy. And in my life, I have made it a core value to be healthy. Now, I don't know if Pastor Matt's in the room. He would probably disagree. He's right behind me. Yes, I called him up here. So he'd probably disagree. What? He's not paying attention. That's rude. But I said a core value of mine is that I want to be healthy. So he's supposed to laugh now because he thinks I'm the most unhealthy eater in the history of mankind. Okay, not true, but close. But as I've gone, I've realized that to be healthy, I have to put aside something that I really like. Now, I'm not saying that I never have a Dr. Pepper, because then I would be a liar, a serious liar. But I've gone from 4 to 6 cans of Dr. Pepper a day, and I could have more. I wouldn't count, just whenever I wanted, I'd have one. Probably our budget appreciates way less. But to where I can't drink Dr. Pepper at night and get a good night's sleep. I'll fall asleep fine. And somehow I wake up at 2 in the morning and be awake for a couple hours. Which then what happens? I'm grumpy and grouchy. I don't get my work done as well. Something that I love that there's not sin in. All of a sudden, I have to put limits on myself and say no. So I have a Dr. Pepper generally at dinner. Maybe if I go out to eat, I'll have another one. So I might have 2 Dr. Peppers in a day. But I've said I can't because if I have what I want, do what I want, The Bible never says don't have Dr. Pepper, but my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to live my life to the fullest. I'm going to go after God with everything, which means Dr. Pepper is an emblem in my life that I have to make different changes at different moments to honor God. Guess what else I have to do? I have to go to the gym multiple times every single week, or I don't look like I want to look. I never had to do that before. You know what else I have to do? I have to start stretching before I run. Because if I don't stretch, then I'll be feeling the run for days and days and days. I go sit in the hot tub afterward too, listen to worship music, because then I normally come out without too much soreness. And what I'm trying to say is this morning, there's things in our life, there's freedom in our life, there's moments in our life where maybe I say, I can eat what I want, I can drink what I want, I can do what I want. But when I start looking around me and looking at my wife and my kids and my family and my church, all of a sudden, even something that is as innocent as Dr. Pepper, I now drink water during the day at work and I hate it. But it is worth it. It's worth it to be healthy. It's worth it to follow what I believe God has laid in my heart. And this morning, maybe the first 10 or 15 minutes you really hated of this sermon are really just me talking. But I would encourage you today, are there places in your life, maybe it is a commitment to say, you know what, I'm just going to abstain from alcohol. I don't need it in my life. You can know your pastoral staff, we're with you. We sign a piece of paper, and I think for all of us, I'm pretty sure all of us, we don't drink anyways. We would never drink. That's not our thing. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's your social media account. Maybe you find your joy, your peace, your happiness in clicks and likes and telling everybody about how awesome your day is, but you'll never be honest about the tough moments. And all of a sudden there's a facade and you feel like you have to live this facade and people can't know who you really are. I would encourage, it might be liberating, not to put every terrible thing that happens online, please don't, that's not good. But it might be good to be honest with some people in your life. All of a sudden God might be freedom to you as you let go of what you held on to. As you take your Dr. Pepper and you say, I can only have one or two now. Or maybe you're in the room and you're past one or two and you get one or two a year. I've talked to a few of you that you say every once in a while. I think it's worth it to be healthy, to live for God, and it's worth it to get into the spiritual aspect, which I think our life is spiritual, but the Word of God, and let the Word of God transform us above what I want to do, above what a boyfriend thinks or what my heart would even say, is what does the Word say? And I'm going to line up with it. So as we close, we're going to go a few minutes over this morning. But what I'm going to ask is I'm going to ask that all over this room, if you would just stand to your feet. We're going to take 5-7 minutes. We're going to sing. We're going to make a time at the altar. I'm going to ask this morning, if you feel maybe in your own life, you need to repent of something. You need to lay something. You feel that there's been wrath of God. You've never thought of it maybe that way. But you say there's wrath in my life because God's let me do what I want to do. And I know I shouldn't. I know it's not right. Maybe it's because it's sin. It's direct sin in the Bible. Or maybe it's because he's been just speaking to you. He's just been talking to you. And you know there's something you need to get rid of. There's something you need to lay aside. I'm going to ask you to come and find a place at the altar. Or maybe today you just say, I want the righteousness of God to overflow me. I want to live in him and walk in him. I want to move as he would have me to move. I want to experience the power of God in my life in a new way. Maybe the power of God. You need to get this Bible and once again commit yourself to it. I encourage you to take a step, to kneel at your seat, to come to the altar. Or maybe this morning you'll stand in the gap for someone that they're far from God. And we prayed before. Or someone that they're taking their freedom and it's killing them. It's ruining their life. I'm going to ask you this morning, maybe that's you. And I'm going to ask our prayer team, our pastor's board of ministry, our pastors, if you would come, would you just prime the altars this morning? Would you come find a place and we're going to worship Jesus? We're going to lift him up. And for 7 minutes or so, would you go after God? Would you ask him to move? Would you ask the power of God for salvation to once again show himself, to move in your life and in your situation? Jesus, this morning, we are so thankful for how you move. We're so thankful for what you do. We're so thankful, God, that you are a God that loves and you care, you forgive, you set free. But Lord, you're also the God that asks us to take a step. You ask us to move into you. And Lord, I pray where freedom, maybe last week freedom was a good thing, and this week it turns our mindset and we realize that I don't want to be free to do something that doesn't lead me to the best things of God. Lord, maybe our freedom has become a hindrance for someone around us. Maybe our freedom has been something that is hurting our relationships, our life, or our work. God, I pray today that we would lay those things at your feet. We would align ourselves with you. Lord, that we would commit maybe to abstain from things that we used to take part in because we realize it is not of you, it's not from you, and it's not what we should do today. Lord, this morning, would you speak to us? Would you move in our hearts? And Lord, for any in the room, they don't have a relationship with you. Right now, would you let them turn their heart to you? Would you let them just ask you to become the Lord of their life? And we know that when they do, all of heaven rejoices. All of heaven gets excited when one person comes home to know you, Jesus. So right now, turn our hearts to you. We offer you all of us. Because we know the power of the gospel for salvation removes the declaration of wrath and reveals my identity in you and in your word and in your truth, God. We glorify you and we thank you. Lord, turn our hearts to you this morning.